Annie and Ando on Joy 94.9.
It's exactly 6 o'clock on your Thursday, the 10th of September. 6 degrees with a forecast top of 21 here in Melbourne. Good morning, Annie Louie.
Good morning. It is Are You OK Day, so, if you weren't aware.
Yes, I am in my bright yellow Are You OK t-shirt. And my first question to you, are you OK?
I am tired this week.
Your eyes look tired.
Yes, thanks for that.
Oh, sorry.
How are you? Are you okay?
I'm okay. We're heading towards the end of the week, but it is an important day and too important for both of us to ignore and not do something about. So we have a cracking show coming up, talking to I think a really good mix of people across the mental health sphere in Australia.
Jam-packed full of guests. Well, first we've got a start off by chatting to the organisation. So we've got an ambassador coming on to talk
from
all
Are You
about
OK,
it.
Yeah. Stephen Satour. Then we head to what is termed lived experience with a connection to the Black Dog Institute. Lived experience, essentially, somebody that's gone through challenges or mental health issues and popped out the other side and actually shares their story and connects with others.
Yep. And Man Cave as well. They're a great organisation going into schools and doing full one-day workshops with the boys there and trying to tackle some of those men's mental health issues before we let them out into society and become they become.
Out.
Yeah, who let the dogs out?
Who let the boys out? So a real mix there. Now, if you're looking for any support, you can head to joy.org.au/support. For a bunch of links on the site there. We wish you all the best. Today is really, or this morning for us, is light and shade. We're going to do it in the Annie and Ando way. We want to inform, but we also want to have a giggle and we want to know that you're there and we're there for you.
Yeah. Our text line's open, 0427 Joy 949.
Annie and Ando on your Thursday morning, which is Are You OK Day. Our next guest is a Pitundara Yakundara guy from Central Australia. He's the head of Stronger Together at Are You OK. He's on the national board of NAINOC. He runs a travel business focused on connecting people with the oldest living culture in the world, which is this very country we are in. He's here to talk to us this morning about Are You OK? Welcome, Stephen Satour.
Good morning. Thank you both for having me. And are you OK?
Oh, it's a great question. And it's not just about today, it's about beyond that as well. Today I'm feeling pretty good. How are you, Ando?
I'm feeling good. But thank you for asking. It never hurts.
And I think that's what we need to be doing every day, especially during these times. And for our friends in Victoria, it's a day of action and ask our friends and family and work colleagues the Are You OK question. This year it's more significant than ever. So this year's theme, that there's more to say after Are You OK, it's about really just continually to check in on our friends and family who may not be okay.
You've been spending a lot of time in your own community. I'm looking at a beautiful picture of you with family in Are You OK Day shirt. How is it in the Alice Springs community in particular?
Well, it goes up and down. The news that we hear, I suppose the anxiety that surrounds that, it's, I suppose, palpable. And when, you know, new information comes out or there's a case, it really, yeah, it sets off some emotions. And there's been cases at the very start, people were stranded in town and weren't able to get back to their communities. And, you know, obviously that happened all over the world. So it's, yeah, that sense of not being able to get home and not be where you feel that you belong with your friends and family, I think it's causing a lot of triggers for people.
Yeah, it is. And I think for your people, we know it's institutionalised and gone on for way too many years, and we're just starting to get a taste of that in Victoria when you can't go visit your ageing parent or you can't go see your family because we're all in lockdown.
Yeah, and that has absolutely been like a compounding contributor to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people's mental health.
Absolutely. Hey, on the areyouok.org.au website, one of the things that I was struck by is the getting ready to ask section, which is essentially are you okay shouldn't be done if you're not okay yourself and you need help.
Yeah, absolutely. That it's who we're talking to is the people that, you know, you might be in isolation with your friends and family and, you know, you've got a bit of a support network around you. So when you are in that, I suppose, positive headspace, can you extend yourself to ask other people that might be by themselves or might have lost a job or lost a loved one and they can't attend a funeral or they can't get home? So can you, you know, ask that are you okay question to someone else and be that source of support?
Yeah. And it also then goes beyond that, saying, you know, listen with an open mind, encourage action, and then check in. Can you explain those three other steps to us?
So I guess it's as simple as it sounds. When you are asking the "Are you okay?" question, just be ready to listen. Not having an approach where you think you need to solve someone's issue or, you know, whatever they might be going through. Don't feel the need that you have to solve it right then and there. Just really listen, actively listen to that person. The encourage action, if they are in distress especially, who can you call? Is it a lifeline? Is it 000? Is it, you know, what are some of the next steps that might further support that person? It might be going to get, you know, your Medicare 10 visit and go see someone over the course of the weeks. Yeah. Obviously, there's a bit of a backlog. A lot of people are trying to access these services. And the other one is check-in. So once you've sort of identified that someone might be going through an issue and you've been listening to them, in a couple of days, just check back in with them and see how they're feeling after you've had that "Are you okay?" conversation.
Yeah.
Mm. I've downloaded the package of materials as well, and it's all free. It's really great. I've used one of the posters on a video, but one of the tips is to get organized, whether it's a morning tea, a sausage sizzle, or an online event. What are some of the things that we can do? Because maybe a morning tea or sausage sizzle isn't possible right now.
Well, I think that's where we can start to rely on some of our technology, or even just basic phone, giving somebody a call. So that's the action, that's the call out that we want to have people to use any means necessary to have the "Are you okay?" conversation with someone in their world.
That's a really good point, and I think sometimes we don't realise that all of these support lines, be it Lifeline or QLife, are available to people that are trying to help support others as well, not just people in immediate need. So you could actually ring up and say, "Hey, I have a friend that I'm worried about. What can I do?"
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I think we all have to take as much learning as possible around mental health. How do we make ourselves mentally strong and mentally well? And then how can we support those in our world as well?
If you've just tuned in, we're talking to Stephen Sartor about Are You Okay Day, which is today, and the ways that we can celebrate. Are there things that you're going to be working on in the next couple of months now that once Are You Okay Day is over, the work doesn't end, does it?
No, it doesn't. And we, as a team, we're really committed to living that ethos of there's more to say after. Are you okay? So that's visiting schools, visiting workplaces, and really getting our resources out to people and for people to use as best they can.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for taking time to speak to us today. A very important day. Are You Okay Day campaign manager, Stephen, talking to us. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Stephen. It is a very sensitive topic. If you are feeling triggered at all by hearing what we've talked about today or looking for support, visit joy.org.au/support.
Cracking you up at the crack of dawn. It's Annie and Ando on Joy 94.9.
What you hear on Joy 94.9 is governed by the Community Broadcasting Codes of Practice. The Codes of Practice cover matters relating to all program content, as well as community access and participation in the operation of this service. Copies of the codes are available from the Community Broadcasting Association website, cbaa.org.au.
Hi, I'm Paul.
And I'm Dylan.
And every Saturday morning is beautiful when you wake up with us on the Late Late Breakfast Show.
Join us for great music and engaging conversations as we welcome the weekend, including our weekly Guilty Pleasure track.
It doesn't matter if you're at work, still in bed, or just getting in. It's better late late than never to listen to the Late Late Breakfast Show.
The Late Late Breakfast Show, every Saturday morning, 8 to 10 a.m. on Joy 94.9.
Your voice, your radio station.
Each Sunday, Robert and Mossy come to you from the Yellow Submarine, bringing you the music of yesterday once more, playing the hits of the past from the 50s, 60s, 70s, and a sprinkling of the 80s, based on their theme of the week. This week's theme is Going, Going, Gone, featuring LGBTIQ favourite Dusty Springfield, diva Peggy Lee, and the Dixie Cups. That's Yesterday Once More, Sunday afternoons at 5 p.m. on Joy 94.9.
Get up with Annie and Ando, only on Joy.
Quarter past six, 6 degrees and a forecast top of 21 in Melbourne. Annie Louie, it is Are You Okay Day.
It sure is. That was a great interview we had with our ambassador, Stephen.
Stephen Sartor. Now, Are You Okay Day should be every day. What do I mean by that? The ability for us to talk openly without stigma or fear of discrimination because of mental illness.
Mm. And they've cottoned onto that. They've made it about the conversations that go around after the chat.
They have. And if you haven't checked it out, areyouok.org.au is their website. And there's a bunch of resources. And pleasingly, there's a whole tab and a whole resource pack for LGBTIQA+.
Amazing.
Yay.
Is everything yellow?
Yeah, lots
in
of
brand. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, when I was getting dressed this morning, Annie, and I've grabbed my Are You OK t-shirt, which is very bright canary. Would you call it canary yellow?
Ooh, I think it is canary. You've spot on.
Canary
yellow.
It's not
quite buttercup.
You are buttercup. What up, buttercup? Is that another way of saying are you okay? What up, buttercup?
It probably is. However you want to say it, there's cool ways to check in. I don't think you need to use the line are you okay specifically.
No, it's an example. Here's some stats for you. 20% of Australians suffer a mental illness in any 1 year.
20%,
one in five.
Because I like the theory that we all go through phases in our life,
yes.
Ups and downs, and it's not really, it shouldn't be called depression, but going through a depression.
Yes. That's actually a really good point. Some of the work that's done in psychotherapy space around people with depression is talking about how depression came into your life, and so talking about it as a one thing removed from yourself, so it's an out there concept. So depression came to my life during X, and when depression was around is very different to saying the lines of I have.
Yeah.
I am.
So good. I like that.
Me too.
Apply it more to my life.
It comes from the work of narrative therapy where they talk about the narrative of lives and being able to reauthor your narratives. And the concept is that you give an identity to these things. It could be addiction, for example. When did addiction come into your life? What was going on for you? And what does addiction stop you from doing? Is all very different to saying, I'm addicted.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially when if you're battling anxiety, trying to remove yourself from your thoughts and say, I am not my thoughts. They're not exactly
yes.
a part of me. So that's goes hand in hand with that.
We are getting very deep this morning. We couldn't ignore it. We couldn't ignore Are You OK Day and talking about mental health, because if we sit here and say there shouldn't be stigma attached to it, then we got to talk about it.
Yeah. I mean, I would say I'm one of the 20% who go through that every year.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it took me till I was in after high school and going into my first job when I could afford to go and see a psychologist that it all came to light. And now there's some good stuff with the free sessions via Medicare. That
mental
really,
health
yeah,
plan.
Mental health plan.
10 sessions.
Yep.
And I think the Victorian government and I think, don't quote me on this one, the Commonwealth government have extended that, particularly with COVID. But I know Victoria's certainly made some additional dollars available for mental health because it's compounding. So when we look at some of the compounding stuff, queer or LGBTIQA+ people have a higher likelihood of suffering a mental illness due to discrimination, violence, addiction, a whole bunch of other reasons, and being in a minority.
Mm. It's a good investment for the government to make, but also in yourself. I think everyone should go chat about whatever is on their mind, get things off their chest. It's good to unload.
When I think about, I'm still stuck on stigma, you know me and my soapbox. I think about cancer 20 years ago. Or HIV, that still today there is some stigma around the big C, and there's certainly stigma still attached to HIV.
Mm.
And so we've got a long way to go and a lot of work to do when it comes to mental health in terms of removing or breaking down the stigma and talking about it.
Yep.
Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. Some of the things that help me, having a laugh for sure, and now that we can talk about it online, there's a lot of... you can find so many memes, videos about different mental illnesses. I mean, this one is my favourite TikTok from recently about...
Sorry for not responding to your text. I suddenly got really anxious.
For no reason. And if you know me, I either reply within 5 minutes or 5 days. Sometimes I should just send that off to people.
I like that. But so is it okay to take the mickey of yourself around mental illness?
I've been reading some articles and it can't be your only coping mechanism. I think I totally agree with that.
Yep.
If you're only leaning into that, I mean, and not discussing your problems with anybody, then I wouldn't say that's a good strategy.
But it is okay and certainly not damaging.
Are you asking me as an expert? I'm no expert.
Yeah,
I just think it helps me
when
I can send it off to a friend and we can talk about it. Because often it could be the start of a conversation, send off a meme or a GIF or something, and then you can open up.
We do want to know, are you okay? Jump into our Instagram, Annie and Ando. You can DM us there, or you can email onair@joy.org.au, or you can even text us 0427 569 949.
Up early with Annie and Ando. We have chatted to an Are You Okay?
Hi, guys. How are you going today?
Good. Thanks so much for taking the time to talk to us on such an important day. And what a pretty cool organisation Black Dog is. Could you explain what Black Dog does and what your role is?
Yeah, sure. So I'm a lived experience school presenter with the Black Dog Institute. They're a non-for-profit and, you know, they're all about mental health advocacy, education and research. A big part of my role is talking to young people at schools and sporting clubs about mental health. I'm just really passionate about mental health advocacy and starting the mental health conversation with young people.
Wow, and so that experience for yourself then, was that the impetus to then go volunteer and become involved with starting that conversation out in schools?
Yeah, for sure. So when I was a teenager, I struggled with my own mental health, and I first kind of ran into trouble with my mental health when I was about 15 years old. So this was 10 years ago. And back then, there wasn't as much awareness around mental health. And I feel like we've come such a long way since then. And yeah, I just wanted to help others who are going through the same thing, to let them know that they're not alone. And yeah, it was just an extremely lonely experience for me. And I didn't realise there was so much help available out there for me. And I think had I known, I wouldn't have reached out like so late, and my experience would have been a lot different.
What was it that made you want to reach out in the first place?
I was a very depressed and anxious teenager, and I hit, you know, a breaking point where when I was about 16 or 17 years old, I tried to take my own life, and I ended up in hospital for about a month. And I think it was just a huge shock to my whole family and most of the people around me, actually, because I was always someone who was always smiling and involved with a lot of different things at school, and I put on a brave face. My parents always taught us to toughen up, but I think sometimes that's not the answer. You know, we just didn't really talk about emotions in our family, so I bottled a lot of things up, which wasn't helpful. And yeah, I just think it's so important that people know that they can reach out. Yeah, it's okay to be not okay.
Yeah, I love that. It's okay to not be okay.
And when I saw one of your Facebook posts recently, I was so moved because I could relate to that, having Chinese parents who are pretty strict or not educated about mental health. And I'm wondering whether they've come around through your experiences, or perhaps if any parents are listening, what they can do to support their kids.
Yeah, I think it's just so important that kids are able to talk to their parents about anything. I mean, that would be the ideal kind of child-parent relationship. My parents weren't super strict, but they had really high expectations. So I've got two brothers as well, and they were just really critical of my brothers and I. And growing up, I think we all felt the pressure to perform, to succeed. And I think many children of migrant parents can relate to this experience. And also just the issues of finding your identity and fitting into school, stuff like that.
It's often, it's a very true thing for children of migrant parents in Australia or any country, where the parents have made sacrifices and really big decisions to relocate or to make a different life or a better life, and often for their children. And so whether it's said out loud or felt, that pressure is real.
So my parents migrated here from China in the late 80s. It was a huge sacrifice for them, you know, not only to build a new life here, but also so many challenges that they faced, you know, moving to a new country, having to learn English, adapting to a new culture, finding employment and housing, you know, back then, Pauline Hanson. So,
And now when you need to pick yourself up or de-stress, what are your go-to strategies?
I like to stay active. So growing up, I played a lot of sports, and some of my favourite memories are from team sports. It's just a lot of fun, and there was always a sense of camaraderie and belonging. I also love to sing and play the guitar. I'm not very good, but I do enjoy it.
You were talking about exercise and sports.
Yeah.
Exercise and movement actually changes the chemicals in a positive way in our brain. Yet it's often the last thing you want to do when you're feeling it, because you just want to curl up in a fetal position on the couch and or in bed and pull the doona back over your head.
Oh, I've been there.
Yeah. What gets the feet on the floor? Like, how do you actually get that foot up the butt and go, I'm going to go for a run or a walk or do something?
I think it has a lot to do with building healthy habits. So, you know, once it becomes a habit, it becomes easier. And also social support. So maybe if you've got, you know, a group of friends and you've kind of, you can hold each other accountable to, I don't know, just get out of the house from time to time or, you know, maybe do a Zoom yoga session together. There's so many ideas these days.
So, Wincy, if people want to get more information or support, where should they head or what should they do?
I suggest checking out the Black Dog Institute website. It's got heaps of resources for everyone in the community, including workplaces, schools, health professionals. And also you can speak to your GP for a mental health plan or further support.
So that's blackdoginstitute.org.au.
That's it.
It's been a real treat. Thank you for being so honest and sincere with us today. We wish you all the best and keep spreading that wonderful message of having the conversation and talking about mental health and mental well-being.
Thanks so much. It's been great to see all these different perspectives today.
I've been reading about something called SAD, given that it is Are You Sad. Okay Day.
Yeah.
It's called Seasonal Affective Disorder. And some people might have been feeling a bit of the SADs. We came out of winter just the last week, and this happens, seasonal affective disorder, when we have those colder nights and feeling bleak during those seasons. So it's very common in the Northern Hemisphere when they have those crazy long periods of nighttime, and sometimes they don't see sun at all.
I used to work in the UK. I'd go over there and do recruitment in London to relocate people back to work in Australia, and interviewed heaps of people. That'd be this crazy sort of, you'd book a hotel meeting room and interview 13-hour days and just plough through it. And it was really lovely because there were so many people in the UK that wanted to work in Australia. Mm-hmm. And standard question I would always ask is, why, and a lot of them were married and with kids or established families, I'd say, why are you willing to uproot your home and your lifestyle in the UK and move halfway around the world to Australia? Do you know what the common thing was?
What?
Sunshine.
Sunshine, all of our sun.
Sun. And one woman was really passionate. She explained to me, she said, my children are on vitamin D supplements. And I said, oh, you know, I don't mind a multi myself. And she was like, no, because they just don't have enough vitamin D. And according to, depending on which research you look at, approximately 20% of people in the UK suffer vitamin D deficiency. Mm. And there's a connection between vitamin D and depression.
Right.
Which is your SAD, like your SAD, your SAD thing that you're talking about.
Yes, it's true. So you can, if you feel like you might have this, you can chat to your GP. Some of the advice on the Beyond Blue website says go outside more often if you can. If you see the sun, run outside, which sounds like the ice cream truck is here. Run, there it is. Try to get some of it on your skin if you can, if it's not too cold. And don't rely on alcohol, it says.
Don't rely on alcohol.
Yeah, because like I've heard that it's common in those Nordic countries that when things get, those dark winter days never seem to end, that alcoholism rises.
I'm going to go the other side of that, just to be argumentative. There is something a little bit nice sometimes when you're working in London and it's dark at 3 p.m. and you get out at 5 and there's a pub on every corner and people are just rugged up in their scarves and having a few.
Yes.
That's something lovely about that.
We are community radio though, so have a non-alcoholic cider, mulled wine, non-alcoholic grape juice.
Burn it off. Hey, Annie Louie.
Yep.
That last interview where we heard from Wincy Zong, she was talking about exercise. We were having a chat about exercise and movement and that whole trap of when you're particularly depression, but when if you have mental health issues, often the last thing you want to do is exercise and move. You often feel tired, lethargic, and want to pull the doona up over your head and sort of tap out for the day. Mm. What's your favourite? You mentioned before about your own experience around anxiety and mental health. What's your go-to exercise?
At the moment, I'm enjoying the walk around the block first thing in the morning, if I can, or when we're not here on radio, try to be consistent with the sleeping habits and getting myself motivated to go out for a walk. But
yeah, I've discovered cycling later in my life. So that seems to really tap into some of the things I was practicing with meditation. So going for a long stretch where you're not doing anything, there's no distractions, no phone, and you just enjoy the outdoors.
On your bike with the wind in your hair.
Yeah, when things get really tough, I have a look at the surroundings and just try to, like, name things. Like, if you're going up a really hard hill, I'll just be, like, saying out loud the colours of the cars. So I think it's...
Is that what you do? Is
yeah, or, yeah, trying to be like, oh, look, there's a stick or a rock.
Really?
Yeah.
Bicycle. I've just got this image of you, Annie Louie, there, your hair blowing. I know you've got a helmet on, but in my fantasy mind, yeah. There's no helmet, which is unsafe, and it's just, you're powering through.
Yeah.
So would you call that... Morwil. Are you a Morwil? M-A-W-I-L.
Is that the opposite of a mammal?
Yes, like middle-aged woman in Lycra.
Yeah, I'm not middle-aged. Thanks for that. But, you know, a bit of Queen always cheers me up as well. Can't fault Bohemian Rhapsody when you're feeling a little down. But I want to, yeah, you were playing devil's advocate just before. Mm. I would like to play devil's advocate here, where some people might open up to a friend and say that they're feeling depressed, and then they go, oh, just, you need some exercise. What are your thoughts on that?
I think treatment is different for every single person, because everyone's experience of mental health is different. So the treatment, whilst there's statistics and studies done about the efficacy of certain approaches, get professional support, and try what works for you, not, oh, well, Sally did it down the road and it fixed her.
You just need some sun.
You're sitting there, you're jogging on the spot on a trampette in the sun, naked, going, well, I should be fixed by now, what's going on? And you just end up a hot, wet mess.
Or get arrested, which can't be good for your mental health.
Well, yeah, no, I'm not going to go about the arrest. Have you got a record? Not for
a world
on air.
Record for, I don't know, being awesome.
You say awesome, I say BS. Hey, coming up, we've got an interview with Al Green from Man Cave, and Al talks to us about this program that is facilitated within groups of 12 to 16 year old or 12 to 15 year old boys or men, and men being a very general term. Let's make it our LGBTIQA+ version, mask or femme mask or cis, anyone identifying as the mask end of the continuum or towards that. Mm. So make sure you stick around.
Yeah, it is Are You Okay Day. If you've just joined us, this show is dedicated to mental health, and we have been talking to an Are You Okay Day ambassador, plus we've touched base with someone with lived experience. So today we're going to also check in with our friends at the Man Cave, and Al Green has a background in drama, so loving him already, and is here to tell us all about the program. Hi, Al.
Hello, Annie. Hello, Ando. Nice to chat.
Thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us today. Can you explain right from the get-go, what's the Man Cave all about?
So the Man Cave is an emotional intelligence organization for boys in high school predominantly, and we strive to create spaces through our dynamic facilitation squad of diverse male role models to create space for boys in high school to be able to talk about what's really going on in their lives, equip them with the tools of emotional intelligence and emotional literacy, but doing that in a way that is non-threatening, in a way that they don't feel like they're being put on a psychologist's couch, but that our facilitators are more geared towards being that kind of that cool older cousin at Christmas that you really want to ask. You really want them to ask how you are.
So being a queer radio station, I need to ask right up front, when you say young men, what do you mean by men?
Yeah, it's a really good question. Yeah, and obviously the gender space is an incredibly delicate one, and one that we're really aware of. For us, our workshops are for any young person that identifies as male. And for us, we really want to focus on the teenage male experience. You know, I'm sure you've heard on the show today already that there's some pretty scary mental health statistics out there for young boys as well. And obviously that extends to more marginalized communities as well. We have, one of our facilitators identifies as gender fluid, and we have, some sexuality diversity in our squad as well, which we're really proud of.
And is it a program that is done when classes are on, or is it separate to the school curriculum?
We're not formally built into the school curriculum, but we do take young people for full day immersive experiences. So there's a lot of organisations out there that will kind of jump in and do a 90-minute workshop, or try and kind of solve masculinity through a 90-minute PowerPoint, which we just don't really believe that that's the best way that we can be working with young people.
One of the things I wonder is there's the stereotypical old-school misogynistic view of masculinity is boys don't cry, toughen up, harden up, eat some concrete type stuff. Are your workshops more contemporary?
100%. Like, the first third of our day is really focused around deconstructing the masculine stereotype. And one of the biggest things that we strive to do in our workshops is being able to bring that stereotype to the forefront. And there's amazing research done in the Man Box study, which we reference in our workshops, where to be able to really understand and shift a group's consciousness, they all need to see the rules kind of at one point. And so for us, we literally get the rules up on a whiteboard, you know, like what is a stereotype man to the boys in the workshops. But then we also flip it and we say, all right, well, what is it then? If that's the stereotype of a man, what does it mean to be a good man? And, you know, the stereotype is things that you've just mentioned. Boys don't cry, eat concrete. How many women can you sleep with? Like, all the old school stereotypical stuff. And then, yeah, we reframe that in an activity called Good Man, Real Man, where we start to look at, all right, well, who are the men that you actually look up to? Who are the people and what are their qualities? And so much of the time it's kind, supportive, loving. And it's so interesting in our workshops seeing these two different sides of this whiteboard, that they're so different. What boys think in their heads is to be a good man, but then there are these societal rules about the stereotype.
Yes. Has there been any research around the ages where this is most effective? Because I'm thinking, like, oh, we get this into, like, kindergartens. Like, how young can you start it?
There are so many amazing studies out there, and the Man Box study for sure is one that we definitely lean on a lot. But for us, like, that's why we work with 12 to 15-year-olds. It's that preventative age where, not to say that young people haven't faced adversity up until that point, but kind of coming out of primary school is really where the brain starts developing and kicking into a new level neurologically that might not necessarily flip their lives for the next couple of years, but the difference of 2 or 3 degrees at this point now can mean the difference of 60 to 90 degrees in the future.
That's incredible work that you're doing, and I'm sad that I didn't have an experience like this when I was in high school. It sounds pretty special, the work that you do. We want to say thank you so much for taking the time out in such a busy period, particularly with Are You OK Day. Al, one last question. 2012, allegedly you're the Australian war ball champion.
Good research. True, I was the first inaugural Australasian war ball champion. It was that gives me some street cred when I'm in workshops with teenage boys, for sure.
So relatable. I was a war ball champion. Hey kids.
Hey, if anyone wants to get more information, where do they head to?
Our website. It is a great place to go, mancave.life. Or we have just launched, if you are a young person listening, we have just launched our project called Man Cave TV on Instagram. Our handle is mctv.au. So that's where you get a really amazing look into our facilitation squad and their diversity. And we're going to be posting that. It's going to be a channel kind of specifically for young people.
Thank you so much, Al.
No worries.
Cock-a-doodle-doo. It's Addy and Ando every morning on Joy.
It certainly is. And good morning, Anna Murphy.
Oh, cock-a-doodle-doo to you too.
You are.
Oh, you are. How are we all?
Good, my friend.
Are you okay?
Yes. Thank you for asking. Are you two okay?
We are. We had some really different and interesting perspectives from some of our guests this morning, and whilst the giggles mightn't have been there, Annie and I were talking while that track was playing around, you know, there's some stuff you just don't muck about.
No.
And you can you know, take the mickey of yourself and own that. But, yeah, it's been a, I think it's been an interesting show.
Well,
reflective, I am. Mm.
Well, Are You OK Day, of course, is to start a conversation. We should be observing and checking our friends and people in our lives more regularly. I think it's, you know, there's some people that have, you know, some issues with it, but generally it is to raise awareness and to just get people to tune in.
Yes.
And if you don't like the words, Are You OK, it's actually just to get into, you know, how's things going? I know things might not be great.
Yes.
You know, there's many different ways. And this year's focus definitely is to the way to have more of the conversation post those words. So, look, we're getting on board. Of course, the whole station's on board this great day. So we'll be tapping in to check on some of our Joy family, see how they are going. Nice. We've also got an Are You OK champion, Poppy
a champion.
Farah.
Ooh,
is going to come.
What makes you a champion?
Well, I think it's their advocate or
like an ambassador.
Ambassador,
but, yeah.
Yeah,
it's a champion.
So I think they're calling it champions.
Yeah, cool.
So, and she's got a very personal story to talk about as well. And towards the end of our show, we're going to tap into our life coach Lauren Gordon, who's beautiful, and she's got a lot of great tips on how to get this conversation started. And because people feel awkward about it,
it's a bit like talking about gender. Or it's a bit like talking about race, and you just get clunky and you don't say anything.
Exactly. And how do we get better about these things? It's practice, right? So we're all about learning. We're all about moving forward. We also have movies with Al.
Oh.
Last week's Movie Club movie was Mulan, the live action. So I can't wait to talk about it. Well, you need to.
And he says he goes to the movies once every 7 years, and I actually believe him.
Well, I do too now.
Yeah. My concentration span doesn't last for 2.5 hours. So.
Yeah, look, I'm not a great going, like I don't go that regularly to the movies, but this is really, this whole period of time has made me go, oh, I really missed that. I want to do that. So
sounds like a cracking show.
Anna Murphy there.
See you
breakfast.
In the morning.
Not a morning person. Catch the Annie and Ando podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.